Lesson 10, The Holy Spirit. Lesson Objectives. 1. The student will be able to explain the characteristics that show that the Holy Spirit is a person. Biblical evidence for the personhood and deity of the Holy Spirit. Why the personhood and deity of the Holy Spirit are essential doctrines. The historic and present activity of the Holy Spirit. Practical aspects of the believer's relationship with the Holy Spirit. A statement of Christian beliefs about the Holy Spirit. 2. The student will apply some principles about gifts of the Spirit. Introduction. Activity. Before continuing the lesson, read Psalm 139. What does this passage tell us about the Spirit of God? Some people think of the Holy Spirit as just something that stirs their emotions, a power they try to use, an impersonal force, or simply a presence. For instance, a Jehovah's Witness will say something like this: "The Holy Spirit is not a person, and it is not a part of a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God's active force that He uses to accomplish His will." To a certain extent, it can be likened to electricity. Source: Should You Believe in the Trinity? New York, The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, 1989. Something to think about. What is wrong with the Jehovah's Witnesses' concept of the Holy Spirit? Jehovah's Witnesses see the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force. Because they do not have a biblical understanding of God, they cannot have the right relationship with Him. We should not expect to understand all about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the work of the Spirit is like the wind. You hear it, but you don't know where it came from or where it is going. John 3:8. But there are some things that we can know about the Spirit, and they are important for our relationship with God. The section of Scripture that gives us the most description of interaction between the Holy Spirit and the Church is the Book of Acts. There we see a model of how the Church, at its beginning, responded to the Holy Spirit. 1. They honored the Holy Spirit in His deity. Read Acts 5:3-4. 2. They were conscious of the presence, guidance, and activity of the Holy Spirit. Read Acts 15:28. 3. They realized their dependence on the Holy Spirit and their responsibility to respond to Him. Read Acts 4:24 and 31. To have that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit, we must realize that He is a person and that He is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit does not have a physical body like Jesus does, but He is a person. A real person has the attributes of personality, which include mind, will, and emotions. Does the Holy Spirit have a will? He distributes spiritual gifts to Christians as He wills, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Does the Holy Spirit have a mind? He searches everything, even the depths of God, and knows them, 1 Corinthians 2:10. Does the Holy Spirit have emotions? We are told to not grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. If the Holy Spirit can be grieved, then He has emotions. Because the Holy Spirit has a mind, a will, and emotions, we know that He is a person. Something to think about. Why is it important for us to know that the Holy Spirit is a person? A person has capacity for relationships with others. If the Holy Spirit were an impersonal force, we could not have a relationship with Him. But according to Philippians 2:1 and 2 Corinthians 13:14, the Spirit is able to fellowship with us, so He must be a person. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere present God. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Before Ananias was struck dead, Peter told him, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to man, but to God." Acts 5:3-4. From this, we see that lying to the Holy Spirit is the same as lying to God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit knows all things. We see in 1 Corinthians 2:10-11 that he knows all the things of God. That would take an infinite mind. He inspired the Old Testament scriptures, including prophecy, which would require all knowledge. Read 2 Peter 1:21. We are told that the scriptures are breathed out by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Thus the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Psalm 139:7-10 tells us that there is nowhere a person can go to escape the presence of God's Spirit. He is present with every believer, because the Bible says if a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Romans 8:9. The context shows that the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has all power. He does things that only God can do. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8. To do that, he would have to have access to every person's conscience and be able to convince their minds of certain truths. He also is able to give every believer inner strength. Read Ephesians 3:16. The Spirit produces spiritual fruit in the lives of every believer, everywhere in the world. Read Galatians 5:22-23. Nothing but divine power could do this. We are told in Luke 12:10 that the Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Only God can be blasphemed, so the Holy Spirit must be God. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Hebrews 9:14. Our bodies are called the temple of God because the Holy Spirit lives there. 1 Corinthians 3:16. From the biblical evidence, we know that the Holy Spirit is God Himself, the third person of the divine Trinity. Something to think about. Why is it important for us to believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit? It is important to believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit so you can give Him the honor and respect that He deserves. It would be a serious thing to fail to worship the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and the Son. To say that the Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and Son does not mean that they are distinct individuals in the same sense as human beings. The members of the Trinity indwell each other and are all the same God, but are distinct enough to talk to each other, love one another, and have true personal relationships with each other and with us. The Scriptures teach a distinction between the persons of the Trinity. For example, again and again in John 14:16, Jesus referred to a helper that he would send when he went back to the Father. Read John 14:16-17:26, John 15:26, John 16:7-13-15. This helper would guide the disciples and teach them. If Jesus and the Holy Spirit were the same person, Jesus' reference to the Holy Spirit as another helper would not make sense. Jesus must have been referring to another person distinct from himself. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would not speak on his own authority, but would reveal the things of Christ, that Christ received of the Father. John 16:13-15. If Jesus and the Father were the same person as the Holy Spirit, that statement would not make sense. When Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son," and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, rested upon Jesus. Mark 1:10-11. All three members of the Trinity are involved here at the same time, distinct from one another. As a distinct person, the Holy Spirit has lived in a love relationship with the Father and Son from all eternity. God created us to participate in that relationship. God wants us to enjoy fellowship with Him. 1 John 1:3-4. As each member of the Trinity has enjoyed fellowship with the others from before the beginning of time. Read John 17:22-23. The Holy Spirit is active. From the time of creation, the Holy Spirit has been active in the world. He was present and involved as the earth was created, Genesis 1:2-26. He gave special abilities to people who were called to special work, Exodus 35:30-31, Judges 3:9-10, Judges 15:14-15. He gave messages to the prophets, Isaiah 61:1. He inspired the scriptures, 2 Peter 1:21. He has always worked in the hearts of people, trying to turn them toward God. Acts 7:51. He is called the Spirit of life. Read Romans 8:2. He is the Spirit that created us and gave us life. If he were to withdraw from the world, all life would stop, and man would return to dust. Job 33:4. Job 34:14-15. The New Testament introduced a new aspect of the Holy Spirit's work. John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize people with the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:11. Jesus told his disciples to expect the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happened at Pentecost, Acts 1, 4-5 and 8. Jesus promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit would be with them, reminding them of the things Jesus taught and leading them into truth, John 14:26, John 16:13. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be another helper, John 14:16 and 26, John 15:26, John 16:7. The Greek word Jesus used refers to one who is with us, one who encourages and helps us. It can also refer to a representative. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus and reminds us of his words. Note, the same word is in 1 John 2:1, where Jesus is said to be our representative to the Father. Something to think about. What are some things that the Holy Spirit does? The work of the Holy Spirit in the world cannot be completely explained, but here is a list of some of his activities. 1. He convicts of sin, John 16:8, 1 Corinthians 2:4, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Otherwise, it would be impossible for a person to realize his need to repent and be forgiven. 2. He regenerates, giving life to the person who was dead in sin, Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2:1, John 3:5. 3. He gives the believer personal assurance that he is saved, Romans 8:16. 4. He lives in every believer. Every saved person has the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9, 1 Corinthians 6:19. 5. He gives understanding of God's truth, 1 Corinthians 2:9 to 10, 13-14, 2 Corinthians 3:14 to 17, Ephesians 6:17. 6. He calls people to special ministry and guides decisions in ministry, Acts 13:2 to 4, Acts 15:28, Acts 16:6 to 10. 7. He sanctifies the believer, purifying his heart to make him holy, Acts 15:8 to 9, 1 Peter 1:2. 8. He gives power for living in victory over sin, Romans 8:1 and 5:13, Galatians 5:16. 9. He produces spiritual fruit in the believer's life, Galatians 5:22 to 23. 10. He gives gifts for ministry, 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 10, 28:30, Romans 12:6 to 8, 1 Peter 4:10 to 11. 11. He gives special anointing of power for ministry, Acts 1:8, Acts 13:9, Galatians 3:5, 1 Peter 1:12. 12. He helps the believer pray according to the will of God, Romans 8:26 to 27. Ephesians 6:18. 13. He creates the unity and fellowship of the church, Ephesians 4:3, Philippians 2:1. Some principles about gifts of the Spirit. 1. The Spirit works through the different gifts, operations and administrations, 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 6. 2. Spiritual gifts are distributed according to the will of God, not according to spirituality, 1 Corinthians 12:11 and 1 Corinthians 4:7. 3. Every person has some ability given by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7. 4. No certain gift can be expected of every believer, 1 Corinthians 12, 8-11, 14-30. 5. Gifts should always be used for service to others for the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 22, 25, 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. The gift of tongues. Christians do not all agree about the practice of the gift of tongues. Some Christians believe that every believer will speak in tongues when he receives the Holy Spirit. Other Christians believe that the gift of tongues is given to some believers for communication to people who speak a different language. They believe this because at Pentecost, the speakers were understood in many languages, Acts 2:6. They believe that God gives this gift and any other spiritual gift to whomever he chooses, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. They believe that there is not one gift that every believer should have, 1 Corinthians 12:29-30. And therefore the gift does not prove something for a believer, 1 Corinthians 14:22. Though every believer has the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:9. Different opinions about the gift of tongues may prevent believers from working closely together in some forms of ministry, but believers should not judge one another for their opinions on this issue. The Holy Spirit is in relationship with the believer. If you are in relationship with God, you are in relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is not possible to know only one person of the Trinity and not the others. Read Ephesians 2:18. John 6:44. A person does not have to understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit before he can be saved. The disciples did not know much about the Spirit, but Jesus told them that they knew the Spirit and that he was with them already. Read John 14:17. Knowing the right doctrine about the Holy Spirit helps us to relate to him the right way and lets him do more in our life. Knowing that he is a person lets us know that we can have a relationship with him. We can talk to him and he will speak to us. He does not usually speak to us with an audible voice, but he helps us understand the will of God and the love of God. If we really want to do God's will, the Holy Spirit will guide us, even though we don't always feel it. Knowing that he is a person means that we do not act as if he were just a force or a feeling. When we worship God, we are thinking about who he is and what he is like, not just enjoying a mindless feeling. When we pray, we speak intelligently and try to understand what he might show us, rather than using words in an impersonal, magical way, like people of other religions do. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is God should give us an attitude of reverent worship. As we pray and sense his guidance, we need to remember that he is the God who loves us, knows us completely, and knows our future. He is also the absolute authority whom we must obey. He is with us all the time. The scripture says that we live in the Spirit and should walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. We should live as if we are in his presence and not think that we come into his presence only at church. He is not only with us, but he lives within us. That is a reason that we should live a life that is pure and holy. Read 1 Corinthians 6:19. We must remember that the Spirit's highest priority is to give us victory over sin and to purify our hearts. Romans 8:13, Galatians 5:16, Acts 15:8-9. We should not be praying for other things if we are not letting him accomplish his highest priority. We should pray in faith, believing him to make us completely holy. Read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. In the struggles of life, he gives us inner strength, Ephesians 3:16. He understands us, he understands our situations, and he can give us exactly what we need. In ministry, we must depend on him to give us guidance, to give power to his word, and to accomplish spiritual results in the hearts of others. We see this in the book of Acts. No human ability can substitute for the work of the Spirit. Even if you have already been filled with the Spirit, you must not forget to keep a relationship with him. The command to be filled with the Spirit is a command to be continuously filled. Read Ephesians 5:18. We need to be filled constantly, and it happens through our relationship with him. Statement of beliefs. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, fully divine with the Father and Son. He convicts of sin, regenerates and lives in every believer, giving victory over sin and cleansing of the heart. He is the unifying life of the church, which he blesses with the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts for ministry. Biblical evidence for the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Some people deny the personhood of the Spirit and say that he is an impersonal force like electricity or gravity. However, it is impossible that an impersonal force would be described like the Bible describes the Holy Spirit. Electricity does not speak and reason. Gravity cannot be lied to. A mindless force cannot understand the will of God. Some people say these scriptures are only personification, speaking of something impersonal as if it is a person without really meaning it. However, scripture speaks of the Spirit with personal terms, and people responded to him as to a person. In a few places, the Spirit is spoken of figuratively as if he were a substance. Like when the Bible says, "The Spirit will be poured out," Acts 2:17, those should be considered figurative, since the Bible normally speaks of the Spirit as a person. Biblical evidence for the personhood of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28:19, we are told to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which implies that all three have authority. 2 Corinthians 13:14 mentions the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which implies intelligent communication. In Mark 13:11, believers were promised that the Holy Spirit would speak through them in times of persecution. In John 14:17 and 26, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, who would teach and remind. In John 16:7-11, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, which requires intelligent communication. John 16:13-15 says that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but would declare the things of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 12:11, the Holy Spirit chooses how spiritual gifts are to be given. He witnesses to our spirits that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. He makes intercession for us to the Father and has a mind that can understand the will of God, Romans 8:26-27. According to Ephesians 4:30, he can be grieved, which means that he understands our responses to him and has emotions. He can be lied to, which means that he understands communication, Acts 5:3. He speaks, gives directions, and has a will that people should follow, Acts 13:2-4. He directed the apostles in their missionary journeys and sometimes told them not to go to a place, Acts 16:6. 6.